You're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Ervin, Daf Tes Zayin, Amud Aleph. We're going to start at the bottom of Tes Vav, Amud Beis. We're coming off at Tes Vav, so the Simon hopefully, right, Tes Vav is Tu B'Shvat, so it's a fruit bowl. And there was a fruit bowl under a palm tree that was serving as a lechi. And it attracted a cow that had a get written on it. I wonder what it said. It said move away or whatever it said to get. So therefore the cow left this encampment that was camped around by all these saddlebags, which reminds us of those three topics that we saw here. Hopefully we still remember Yud-Dalet we spelled out. Yud-Gimel Yud-Dalet we spelled out pretty clearly also. You remember Yud-Gimel was the bar mitzvah boy, leaning Parsha Sota, and there's some words missing. The Rav says, Shkoyach to Meir, who enlightened our eyes, make sure you're always an Anav like Hillel. And Yud-Dalet was there with the juggler with his hands. He's juggling the torches in between these beams and ends up landing in the Yam Shel Shlomo that's next to Lechi, right in the middle of the Mavoi. So if you're even remembering it a little bit based on what I'm saying, so it's a sign that it's could I, like, on your own, even taking a few moments to just try to go over it in your head at some point, and hopefully it'll pay off. The simon for Tes Zayin is toes. So it's a we'll see how it applies in a little bit. The first zikru point is on our amud, and the other two is on tomorrow night's amud. So Toshma Shairucha Shachanta Vibika. So we're in a discussion about the status of Parutz Ka'omed. Right? There's a machlokes. We know that if there's more breach than wall, then that's not considered a good wall. If there's more wall than breach, then we know that it is considered a good wall. The question is, what if it's half and half? And the Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua disagree on that. They say, no, Moshe Rabbeinu just said, make sure you have a wall that's more than the breach. And he says, make sure you don't have a breach that's more than the wall. So different ways to look at it. But based on our Mishnah, it really did seem like the implication of our Mishnah is that, like Rav Papa, that it's mutter. If it's ha-kibinyan, mutter. And we even said, yeah, it's Taka Akasha against Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua, who says that it is Usher. But it's not a knockout punch, and therefore the Gemara proceeds to explain more. The Rav did Hamakara Sukkasa Beshapudin, right? Where you cover the sukkah with these metal spits?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we're going to have a similar discussion over here. Toshma Shai. So here, tell me here another brayso. Shai Rech Shechanta Bebekavik Kifua Begamalin Bu'okafos. So let's say you have a caravan that encamps in a open space in a valley, and therefore this is considered a carmelis. But they're surrounded by over here. There are camels around them, Bu'okafos, and also with saddles. Ba'avitin, Rashi says, a kar shetachas o kafagamal, like a cushion that goes under a saddle. He actually sources Parshas Vayetzeh with the Rachel sitting on it. Oh, wow, right after Rachel, I mean, it's yardside, amazing. Bishalifin, Rashi says, masuos, bundles, kulchos, Rashi says, they're stalk, vegetable stalks, kilchos yarakos. So they're surrounded by all these things. Mitaltlin besocha, you're allowed to carry within it. It's interesting that one of the walls we said is a camel. So this is not like Reb Meir, who said that animals cannot be, but
the other thing is curiosity. If you were to do this in Shusar Amdaris, would it not be effective as well?
That's a good question.
I guess it's not normally the case if you set up camp in the middle of Times Square for a mushroom.
Right.
But if you were to do so.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Why Dafka Carmelis? I'm not sure.
I guess it definitely say that's what's normally where you have this scenario.
Maybe. Yeah, could be. We even apply there. I'm not sure. To think about it. Yeah. But there's a limitation. But there cannot be a space between two camels the size of a camel. And between a saddle and a saddle, the size of a saddle. Meaning, it sounds like if it's 50-50, that's a problem. If it's the same gap size as the wall size, it's a problem. So the Gemara says, Hachinami, Kishinuk must be outside. Here too, it's where he enters it and takes it out, meaning that it's not a, such a tight fit. This was, I think, used in the other direction in order to try to defend. Who knew before? Rav Papa. Either way, over here, we're defending Rav Papa and saying, no, it's not exactly even. It was Kishinukos Yotze, where it's actually a little bit more gap than wall. Sorry, a little bit. Only if it's a problem. If it's a little bit more gap than wall, that's the problem over here. And when it says the size of a gemal, it doesn't mean exactly. It means that you count for a little more space. Here's a nice little picture over here. This looks like that's cool. Okay. Sometimes you don't necessarily need the picture, but this thing is nice to see anyway. Toshma, come here, another proof. Nimtzeis ato, it comes out ato omer that you're going to say. So it comes out. What are you talking about? So this is actually a mishnah. It's Tosefta and Kilayim. Tosefta and Kilayim, which says, and it comes out ato omer that you're going to say shlosh midos b'mechitos. There are three different types of walls. So don't worry about the context. We don't need the full context. Bottom line is, when it comes to Kilayim, there are three different types of walls. We know that we need a wall, a gedder, to separate between different types of produce, and then you're allowed to plant there as long as there's a wall there separating, indicating that there's a separation. Most of the halachos, if not all the halachos for kilayim, for walls of kilayim will also account for walls of Shat Hilchos Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah.
I don't recall which time.
Yud Aleph. And we'll quote exactly from Yud Aleph in a moment, in a few lines down. Toshma, coming here, proof. So what are these three mechitzos? Three different types of walls. So kol shehu pachos mishalosha. So any wall that has its wall partitions that are less than three tefachim. Sarech shelo yehei bein zelazeh shlosha. And you need to make sure that there's not between each one three tefachim, right? Because if it's less than three tefachim, I can apply lovewood. So if my little walls, they're not really walls as much as like poles or whatever, but they count as walls, I have to make sure that they're not more than three tefachim or more apart. If they are three tefachim or apart, then that's not considered a wall. Kedei shelo yizdakir hagadi b'bas rosh. So that a little goat, should not be able to go like through, so, like be able to jump through the head of it. So that this is, and right, that we mentioned that there's a principle of lovewood, and sometimes it's actually related to a goat's ability, especially when it comes to a wall like going under it or going through it. It has to be able to prevent this three tefach is measures to prevent goats from going through it. There's sometimes we apply lovewood that has nothing to do with goats. Like goats are not like sometimes we do apply it from the top, and ain't no goats jumping up there. But at least in certain regards, it's this goat measure. So that's one type. Kolshu shalosha umishlosha arba, but anything that is three tefachim, right? We mentioned less than three tefach poles that were counted as walls. Now, what if we have it that it's three up until four? Rashi says v'lo ad b'chal. It's not four itself, because four is going to be already a different category. Once it's four tefachim, then there's a certain chashivus that this wall has, and then there's going to be an hakamina. But let's say it's from three up until four. You're not allowed to have between these two 3 to 4 tefach boards a space of the same size as it. Kimaloa, it's full, it's measured, right? So that you should not have open space breach like the wall that you have there, right? So we're gonna finish this whole Bryce and then we're gonna get to the proof part, but already should be signals going off. Wait, oh, even if you didn't think it through carefully, which one is that yet? You see where we're going. So parutz murba avodz. So you have to make sure that it's not parutz parutz ka omed. But if the parutz was more than the omed, if there's more breach than wall, af kenegeda omed aser. Even you can't even go plant on the other side of the wall. We're talking not hilchos Shabbos, never hilchos Kilayim. The third type of wall is kol shehu dalid umearba, dalid, anything that is four tefachim, umearba ad eser amos, or anywhere between four tefachim and 10 amos. You need to make sure that you don't have this measure between it. Like, so let's say it's four tefachim. You can't have four tefachim in between. So you should not have breach the size of omed, which sounds like, you know, sounds like it's in part of Rabbi Yeshua. And if you have the breach the size of an omed, kinegeda omed mutter, kinegeda parutz aser. So let's say the breaches are the same size. So at least that part of the wall itself that's four tefachim or more, you can actually plant on the other side, because that actually counts as a good mini wall. But it doesn't count for the whole wall, right? Meaning we have a big wall made of gap breaches and planks. So it's a big wall made of it. So if the whole wall is going to be considered one kosher mechitza, then even by the gap, you're allowed to plant there because it's all considered one wall. Let's say there's more breach than wall, or even as much breach as there is wall. So yes, the whole thing is not considered one big mechitza that you can plant on the other side, but at least the parts that's the actual wall, because it's four tefachim, that's chashim. That's considered a real mini wall, but a real wall if it's four tefachim, so you can at least plant kilayim on the other side of that little space of the wall that's actually omed. So keneged omed mutzer, keneged aparutz aser. But according to the breach, obviously you can't, because this is not a good wall. Vim haya omed merub al aparutz, and if the wall is more than the breach, av keneged aparutz mutzer. Right, as we just said, if there's more wall than breach, then the whole thing is considered one big halachic wall, and even on those gaps, you're allowed to plant on the other, like opposite the gap, and that's fine because we consider all big one big wall. So I'm gonna get a part. It's mutter. Nifritza biyoser me'eser. But if there's a breach where it's more than 10. If the breach is 10 amos or more, right? This is why we said 4 tefachim up until 10 amos. Because if the breach is 10 amos or more, usser, it's usser. Even if the majority, right? Even if you have like 100 amos of 100 amos of wall, but once there's 10, a 10 amos breach, so that's already considered a breach, and you can't consider it part of the wall with something on the other side. Right? So That's an exception, as we know. We know that from Daf Beis, the first Mishnah tells us about this a gap that's ten amos, that's considered a Pesach, and Rashi says that here as well. Snifrit Sabiyosim Yasser Aser. Hayusham, the Brisa continues. Hayusham Kanim Haduk Ranin Vasalahan Peya Milamala. But if you have reeds that are Dukranim that are like tapered off, and you make for them by the corner from the top, Afilu biyoser me'eser mutter. Or peya is like a peya. Sorry, peya is like a weave. We said if you do that, so you make it from the top. Afilu biyoser me'eser mutter, because this Rashi explains is a tzuras haPesach, right? And this is what we learned back on. We quoted this exact brice actually on Yud Aleph, right? We're talking about the star, the gold stars that are handed out to the people who lived. To the kids who lived in the open window mavoi, the huts with the many windows and guests, and they were awarded the stars for making a model of a tzuras haPesach with a straw door. So over here, this is what we were talking about then. So even if the gap is wider than 10 amos, as long as it's a tzuras haPesach, at least by kiloyim, it's fine. All right. So if you'll be awesome, yes, and mutter. So now that we did that brisa, let's get to try to prove one way or the other. Yeah, we're good.
Now, on the Omar, that source of Pesach is good.
Really, the Machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, and then but there are two ways to understand the Machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. No, just, yeah, that goes to the top of your base of an olive. No, sorry, you're not from the base. So now we did the price. So now we're going to try to see the proofs. But as I'll just spoiler alert, there are indications of both, implications of both, which is going to get a little bit. It shouldn't get too confusing, but it could be if you didn't have the spoiler alert. So mihas reisha migimel vadalid. So the reisha is the reisha of this price says from three Tvachim until 4, and it's not really the Resha. It's not the first case. The first case was if it's less than 3 Tvachim. But the earlier case, we're going to analyze the 2. Like, remember, we mentioned there are 3 Mechitzos, 3 different types of walls. So we're only focusing on the second 2. So the first one of those 2 was Megimel Ad Vad Dalad. Ubilvad, we said, as long as Shelo Yehei Bein Zeh LeZeh Kamloah, as long as it doesn't have the amount, the size of the Omeid. Tiyuv to Rav Papa. That's a refutation to Rav Papa, who says that even it's fine. Amar Lach Rav Papa, Rav Papa would say to you, my Meloah, what does it mean, Meloah? Meloah, Nichlas V'yotze. Right? It's not exact. There's with a little bit of wiggle room, but there's actually more gap, more breach than wall, and that's what we're talking about. Hachi Nami Mistavra, and this is also actually pretty logical to say this. Why? Midiktani, because from the fact that we learn, Im Haya Parats Meruba Omeid, we said if there's more breach than wall, how can I get an Omeid Aser? So then even opposite the Omeid is Aser. If there's more breach than wall, Mashma, Haka Omeid, but if it was the size of the Omeid, Mutter. Shma Mina. So we actually learn from this that, it seems to be in favor of her papa. So lema tahavi tiyufte dirag hunabrei Rav Yeshua. So let's say his reputation of hunabrei Rav Yeshua. Amar lach, so he'll say to you, let's according to your reasoning, ema seifa. Let's talk about the seifa. Imhaya omed meruba ala parut. So we said in the seifa in the third case, if there's more omed than paruts, af keneged a paruts mutter. Mashma, hake paruts aser. So, Seifa Kashler of Papa, Reisha Kashler of Hunabrei Rav Yeshua. Both are questions to them, right? So the mashmos of the Seifa, we kind of had 2 questions. The truth is on Rav Papa and one on Rav Hunabrei Rav Yeshua, and one of them Rav Papa already answered away. He just said, yeah, it's a little bit more wiggle room. But over here we have, so the Reisha seems to be like Rav Papa, and the Seifa seems to be like Rav Hunabrei Rav Yeshua. So the Gemara says, Seifa Rav Papa lo kasha. The Seifa's not really a question of Rav Papa. I did the Tana Reisha parts meruba ala omeid, since the Tana originally taught in the first case, meaning the second type of wall, that parts meruba ala omeid, if there's more breach than wall, that's what he's talking about. So Tana Seifa Omeid Meruba Ala Paretz. So it kind of just used the reverse lashon, but the second lashon is lav dafka. It's because we, it's just mirroring the opening lashon. And this is not such a stretch to say such a thing. We have this concept in general with Mishnayos and Brisos. Sometimes you see both ends of it, but sometimes we say that it was written in a particular way because these teachings were committed to memory, right? That's why. That sometimes there's certain balance to them, and I remember even like Baba Kama, the lashon of Shor Bor Mava Hever. Remember a rabbi once pointed out that Shor Bor Mava Hever, it's written that way for a mnemonic device, Shor Bor Mava Hever. There's these not all these are common terms for all the halachas that they apply to. So Mishnayos and Brisos is supposed to be remembered, and therefore sometimes. It'll be dafka in the first part, but the second part is just mirroring the first one, but don't look into it, because especially if it's going to lead to a contradiction. I wouldn't always say this, but if there's a clear contradiction, so then don't say that. So the Gemara then says, well, Reisha l'Rav Huna, b'Rei Rav Yeshua lo kasha. So Rav Huna is going to say the Gemara was going to say in defense of him really the same thing. I need to buy the Mishnei Seifa, Omin Ruba Laparetz. Since the Seifa says, Omin Ruba Laparetz, Mashma, that if they're equal, it's a problem. So Tana Reisha parts Merubah Omeid. So it mentioned the Reisha also, this way. Now, to me personally, this sounds a little bit harder to say, because you would assume that the first teaching would be Koveya the Lashon, but I guess it could be that the second one is the bigger Chiddush. So maybe that's the emphasis. That's the real case that the Brisa wants to teach. If that's so, then maybe the Reisha will fall into the terminology of the Seifa. The Seifa is really the most important part. I'm not sure.
Why does the Gemara say Shema Minah?
Yeah, it's a good question. I was thinking that as I read it. Shema Minah.
That's
not
usually shmami, not usually. It's not always the case, but you know what? I think this is why, because we accept the Papa's answer, we accept the Gemara's answer. We say shmami na, yeah, you're right. That is the correct way to read it because of the Mistavra, and we say this is a tiyuv de Rabbeinu Bar Yehoshua. So we accept that. As opposed to over here, we have like Akasha this way, Akasha that way. Because really, there are two questions in Rav Papa, right? We concluded that the Seifa is Akasha, is that the Reish is Akasha to Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua. We concluded that. The truth is that even in the Reish itself, there's one question on Rav Papa and one on Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua. There was a question on both of them, right? And then we rejected defended the one with Rav Papa, and we concluded, fine. At the end of the day, the Reish is only a question to Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua. So that's a Shema Amina. That's how we concluded. And we said, aye, but the Seifa is a problem to Rav Papa, and therefore, you know, like that's how we moved on. We moved on and said, the Reish is a question to him, and the Seifa is a question to him. As opposed to saying, the Reish is a question to both of them, and the Seifa is only a question to one. We brushed away one of the questions, and now it's like Seifa is strictly a problem to him, Reish is strictly a problem to him. I'm not sure if that was clear about that, but you probably if you didn't appreciate the question, you probably didn't. It could be you got lost on what the answer was. So hopefully at least the one who asked it will have that. Okay. So Bishlama, so good. So now where we say is that this, it's not really, you can't really conclude one way or other from these implications of the Brisa, because everyone's going to love Dafka. So Bishlam, the Rav Papa, but here's another point. It works out very well, the Rav Papa, Mishum Hachi lo Ariv Lahu, because of Vitani Lahu. Because of this, he did not mix the two cases, and he taught them both. That's basically impossible to understand. The best way to understand it is through looking at Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua. But basically what we're going to say now is the fact that the first two cases, the first two types of walls, right? We're talking about the second and third. Now we're going to talk about the first and the second again. The first two cases of the walls in the Braisa and Kilayim, it could be that, what the Gemara is going to say, that Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua should have taught those together. Because it's really this, there's one similarity in those two cases. What's the first case? The first wall? The first type of wall is where you have these like pegs or something like that, that are less than three tefachim, and we said, make sure you don't have a gap of three tefachim, because then you can't do lavud anymore. The second case was, let's say it's three tefachim up until four, and make sure you don't have a gap the size of the size of three tefachim. So according to Rav Papa, when we say in that second case, don't have a gap of three tefachim, we don't really mean that. We mean, don't have a gap of three tefachim and a little bit. Because a gap of three tefachim with a wall of three tefachim, Rav Papa is actually fine with. He says that's mutter. Right? What, Pam?
No.
So Rav Papa is fine with that. So therefore, but let's go to Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua. Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua would say, no. This case, when it says in the second wall, if you have a wall of three tefachim up to four tefachim, don't have a gap of three tefachim. That's the problem in the second wall. Don't have a gap of three tefachim. Not three and a little bit, three tefachim. Because if it's equal, that's a problem. It's usher. But what was the first case of the Braisa? Also three tefachim. Because you can't have lovewood. So basically, you need to be able to apply lovewood. So basically, in the first and second case, according to Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, the first and second types of walls both can't have a breach of three tefachim. So he shouldn't have had them as two separate cases. He should have just taught them together. Rav Papa is very good that he separates it. Because Rav Papa says the first case, you can't have a wall of three tefachim because then you can't apply lovewood. And in the second, sorry, a breach of three tefachim because then you can't apply lovewood. And in the second case, you can't have a breach of three tefachim and a little bit more than that because then the gap is going to be wider than the three tefach board and then you have a problem. That's very different, because that's three tefachim and three tefachim in a little bit. So this seems to challenge Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua. So now let's see the words inside. So bishlama the Rav Papa. It's very good according to Rav Papa. Mishum hachi lo ariv luhu v'tani luhu. This is why he didn't mix case one and case two. He didn't do kilayim with it, right? No, he didn't mix case one and case two, and he taught them out. He taught both of them because they're different. In case in the wall number one in our brisa, you can't have a gap of three tefachim. In wall number two of our brisa, you can't have a gap of more than three tefachim, because then it's a parutz meruba ala omed. Ela l'Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua, but according to Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, l'Rav Vinuhu v'lishninuhu. You should mix them up and teach them together. That kol shu pachos mishalosha v'shalosha, whether the omid is smaller than three tefachim or three tefachim itself, sarik shlo yehei bein zeh lezeh shlosha. You shouldn't have a three tefach gap. So why did he separate the cases? Maybe this brisa shows us that Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua is wrong. So no, Gemara says no. Mishum de lo dami psula de reis le psula de seifa. No, because yes, technically you're right. In wall number one and wall number two, a three tefach breach is a problem, but they're for different reasons. One of them is because let's see. Because the reason three tefach gap is a problem in the first case is because a goat can go through it. We can't apply lovewood. Psula de seifa shalei hei parts kaomid. But the psula of the seifa is nothing to do with lovewood. It's because a three tefach gap, when you have a three tefach wall, according to Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, is a problem. And this actually will answer this question with the brisa. The Gemara now is going to take a turn to discuss. Hold on. Who is the opinion? Or you know the machlokas, the Rabban and Rav Shimon Gamaliel about lovewood, three, four tefachim. What is this brisa? It seems to be both. Rav Shimon Gamaliel at one point, Rabban at the other point, and there's going to be two answers on the next amud. Just to quickly do the one piece of the simen. So we said it's toes, and the first zikru point are the three different types of walls. Three different types of walls that you have. So there's a guy. Get ready for this one. You're going like this. He's a guy who's measuring three different types of walls with his toes. He's like lining up. I don't know what that means. He's lining up his toes next to him. Like, my toe is about three tefachim. It's a big toe. Figuring out these three different types of mechitzos with his toes. And we'll see the next season of Boitz Marim Yitzchak.